It's a strange conundrum being a chaplain and a parent. As a chaplain, there is a responsibility to be there for every part of the school. If the teachers are suggesting that achievement is important, particularly in the run-up to exams, there's a sense in which anything a school chaplain might say to a young person facing the anguish of the days ahead should be supportive of the school culture and encourage hard work and endeavour in all the tasks that they're asked of them. As a parent, like any parent, I want what's best for the young people who are part of my life. I hope they're putting in the work that's needed and desperately try not to expect too much, though I'm still trying to find the fine line between encouragement and an ambitious parent. However, based on personal experience and the experience of others, I find myself more in the plain old ordinary camp. In the moments when I'm not in schools, I wonder at the expectation we place upon young people today. We expect high marks, knowing that only the best of the best will get into university straight from school. But long term, what we hope is to produce good, well-rounded adults who bring out the best in themselves and others, so that our world might be affected by the possibilities that they will bring to life. Not every young person will achieve the high expectations placed upon them by themselves and others. And I suppose my hope is that they have the opportunity to encounter those whose first stop after school was not the ambition that they had held while at school, whether that be university or a particular career. My hope is that they discover that the plans we've held in our hearts sometimes take a while to come to fruition. There are times when I've wanted to say out loud that it's okay to be ordinary, to strive to do your best. Sometimes plain old ordinary turns out to be the very best we could have hoped for. Both of our readings this morning carry that sense of longing for the miraculous and then discovering that patience and ordinariness are an important part of faith. The oracle of Habakkuk is different from other writings of the prophets. Rather than the message being given by God to a prophet to relate to the people of Israel, this oracle is very much a conversation between the prophet and God. In the first two chapters, Habakkuk argues with God that the divine way seems unfathomable and at times unjust. What we hear today is but a small part of the conversation between the prophet and the divine presence. Sharing the form of lament of some of the Psalms, the conversation reflects the social injustice of the world in which the people of Israel are living while in exile in Babylon. In the midst of social meltdown, God seems distant and unconcerned. While the prophet is frustrated, the vision he receives inspires him to trust, to keep faith. The message of the vision is of the importance of patience, of trusting in the Lord to bring an end to their present experiences at the hand of heaven. Although through being patient, will they find the justice and mercy to sustain their future lives? We may have struggled with that conversation, but we will recognise the frustration of the disciples as they ask Jesus to increase their faith. Their request comes in the midst of some teaching from Jesus where they've been being reminded of what it means to be a disciple or to have faith. In the verses just prior to the plea, Jesus has been highlighting the behaviours and attitudes that those who are disciples should exhibit. They should be those who don't cause others to sin or get things wrong. They're those who are willing to offer forgiveness over and over again. In this second part, they will be reminded that faith comes in small packages and that discipleship is not about reward. Of course, the passage we hear from Luke today is uncomfortable reading for our world. We could just focus on the disciples' request to increase faith. But that then leaves us uncertain about Jesus and slaves and servants. We want Jesus to stand up for the slave, to tell us that subjugation of others at the hand of a master is wrong. And yet here in this passage, Jesus uses a story of a master and a servant. What we get is a reminder that sometimes just getting on with the things that we would ordinarily do are the activities of our faith. It doesn't mean we have to be comfortable with slavery, but it allows us to understand that ordinary tasks done in response to our accepting our shared role of stewardship of creation are activities of faith. So let's go back to the start of the passage we heard and work our thoughts through what we heard. As the disciples ask for their faith to be increased, I suspect we understand why they think they need to make that request. They've followed Jesus and watched the miraculous events that have happened around them in the form of storytelling, healing, and miracle. If they are truly to be disciples, then they wonder if they will ever live up to the expectation of these signs. Jesus' response of a mulberry seed faith that moves, of a mustard seed faith that moves mulberry trees and plants them in the sea, is full of fun. It moves them from worrying about their shortcomings to noticing the generosity of God in the ordinary task of living as those of faith. Faith's not about miraculous signs and expectations. It's about continuing to engage in the world, ensuring that all may encounter the presence of God in the sharing of resources. Luke's gospel, over and over again, offers demonstrations of faith found in ordinary people that in the hands of God brings about extraordinary events. The disciples themselves are witnesses to that. They've left homes, jobs, and families to follow Jesus, not always in easy circumstances, and yet for the most part they stick around. But we also meet persistence in those who are determined to bring their friend to Jesus to be healed and lower him through the roof of a house so that their faith can be realized. We meet trust as a centurion recognizes Jesus as authority and asks him to heal his daughter. We meet love as a sinful woman is forgiven. We meet courage as the disciples' fear is calmed along with a storm. We find those who will challenge the status quo in the hemorrhaging woman. And then there's the praise of the leper who's healed. The confidence in God of a persistent widow pleading for justice. And the willing expectation of healing in the faith of a blind man. But the disciples are reminders that faith wavers. And even being around Jesus does not guarantee constancy in trusting in God. Instead, faith is present when in the simple, humble task of ordinary life, we carry on. Big or small, great or mundane. Caroline Lewis writes, "The deeper poignancy of the entreaty of the disciples is when we realize that the demand of the disciples is our very own. A plea that comes from the darkest places. A plea that originates from those moments where only the belief in the power of God can truly make a difference." Walter Brueggemann wrote, "We all have a hunger for certitude. The problem is the gospel's not about certitude. It's about fidelity." There are a variety of stories that could be told to remind us of the importance of recognising that sometimes our faith is best revealed in just getting on with the ordinary tasks we do. During Advent 2014, we used the Christian Aid book, Come All You Faithful, for our study group, And one of those sessions told us the story of the Tent of Nations. It's a story that at times we may have seen in news stories, for the Tent of Nations is a Palestinian farm that's surrounded by five large growing Jewish settlements. The story told in the book says for 20 years the Nassar family has struggled with costly legal actions as settlements seek to take over their land, including threats from armed settlers, damage to rainwater tanks and olive trees. They're prohibited by the Israeli government from installing running water or electricity and refused building permits. International volunteers are welcomed and support the family in their isolation and struggle. One of the goals of the Tent of Nations farms is to try and carry on doing the ordinary tasks of running a farm in the midst of their struggle. And in doing that, they have invited the world to participate. It's a good place to remember on Worldwide Communion Sunday, because they invite the world to come and be part of that. If you have time, if you want to, you can go and visit the Tent of Nations and take part in ensuring that farm continues to run. You can gather the crops. You can prune the trees. You can just take part in the ordinariness in the midst of the conflict, allowing God's presence to do the rest. It's a story of faith that speaks of big ambition through simple action. It's a story of faith that speaks of persistent patience. It's a story of faith that reminds us that as the people of our community, we should be faithful in the humble, simple tasks of being part of this congregation. Simple tasks that unexpectedly allow Christ's presence to be revealed. We are not asked to take the mulberry bush to the sea. That belongs to God. We are asked to share in the simple tasks, whether that be washing the cups, holding the hands of those who cry, or making space for the stranger. Sometimes the most faithful thing we will ever do will just be being plain old ordinary us. Amen.